like this lawyer might be like, all right, so who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Your neighbor could be anybody and everybody. In order to answer that question, Jesus Christ, you know, told this parable about a good Samaritan. How many of us know a good Samaritan? How many of us have encountered a good Samaritan? Yeah, okay. You know, like Baba says, you'll say that I'm a teacher. Please, show of hands, you've encountered a good Samaritan. All right. Okay, now, how many of us have been good Samaritans? Someone said, to my hurt. that is what God expects of you, you know? That you go out of your way to do things, even if it's not pleasant, even if it's going to affect you some way. Some of us, all we want is people to do things for us. That's all we look out for. We're just interested in people serving us, people helping us, people going out of their way for us. In this story, there was a man traveling and he was attacked. I hope the children are listening because you're going to have a pop quiz. Mori Iyanu Oluwa. You're going to have a pop quiz, and there will be a prize. If I do the pop quiz, there will be a prize. Actually, pop quiz. Please don't answer if you're older than 15. No, don't answer if you're older than 13. No. Don't answer if you're older than 12. Okay. There's some people that would readily know the answer to this question, so I'm trying to exclude them. If you're older than 12, don't answer. Hey, Aaron, how old are you? Okay, all right. So, how many people came across the injured man? Do you know? How many people? Okay. Three. Okay. Terrence said three people. Sorry? Praise the Lord. Some of our children are too smart. Say that, are we counting the people that injured him? Okay, fair point. The Lord will continue to increase your wisdom in Jesus' name. I'm just talking about the people after he was injured. So after he was injured, some people passed, some people came, they saw him. Terry has answered the question. She said three. Who were they? Okay. One, mention one. A priest. Okay. The Good Samaritan. A Levite, a scribe. There was a scribe, yes. Okay. So three people came. Who would you expect to do something? The priest. I mean, the priest is a man of God. Is someone that knows God, or that should know God and know the ways of God and know his commands. Yet, the priest, possibly, for all we know, he was going to pray. He was probably going to the temple, and he was in a hurry. And it was like, you know, this guy's injured, saw him. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord is waiting for a meeting. How many of us have meetings with the Lord and we forget what is going on around us? Because we have an appointment with God. I have to get to service. there's, you know, this powerful man of God preaching today. I have to be there even before they start. I need to be there 2 hours. And then we see God brings across our way avenues to make a difference, to impact someone's life. But because we're just running to the temple, to the church, to that service, we don't do anything. Who is your neighbor? Is your neighbor just the folks in church? Christians like you. So for many of us, if anything happens to another Christian, we're quick to support, we're quick to help. But if they're not of our ilk, if they're not like us, they're not Christians. We just think, nah. The priest came. The scribe, someone who knew the law, who has been writing, you know. Some people, you know, they scribe copies, scriptures and all that. So they know what God expects. Yet, the scribe saw and just, oh Lord, holy, holy are you, Lord. I need to get my things done, Lord. I am going to work for you. And doesn't do anything. You know the interesting thing about the Samaritan? The Samaritans and the Jews do not get along traditionally. So the Samaritan, where's the Samaritan from? Samaria, thank you. He's not from Samaria. So the Samaritan is from Samaria. So the Samaritans, there's a long history about how the Samaritans, you know, they believe in the God of Abraham, but they adulterated their worship of God. So they started mixing and matching. So the idols in, you know, the land where they were combining their worship. It wasn't pure religion, as we put it. And the Jews really did not want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. Okay? Now, it was a Samaritan, natural enemy. Actually, let me think of an example. You know how Israelites and Palestinians are always fighting? That's a good example. Now imagine the Palestinians, I mean, for years, there's been tension between them. Now imagine a Palestinian Arab Muslim sees a Jew injured and is the first person to go there to say, oh my, what happened? You're injured. Let me help you. It's not something you would expect. That was exactly what happened. He recognized that this person is in need. I'm able to help that person. Do we recognize when people are in need, irrespective of whether or not they believe what we believe? Irrespective of what they claim to profess, oh, because he's Sikh, because he's Muslim, because he's Hindu, because he's gay, because he's transsexual, because he's bi, I will not help him. That is not what God's love is about. If there is someone in need, God's love expects us to reach out to help that person. You know, excuse me. If we're committed to serving God, our love should show that. We cannot claim that we're committed to the service of God and not show love to those around us. We need our love to translate into service. Praise the Lord. I always say that we have a fantastic way of, you know, just worshiping God, but our love needs to translate to service. I was reading recently Ezekiel. You know, Ezekiel was a prophet in the Old Testament that God really used to speak to the Israelites. They were messing up, and God used him to speak to the Israelites. But, you know, God started by giving him a vision, by, you know, revealing things to him. Very quickly, just Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 9. It just read verses 9 to 12, Ezekiel 1, 9 to 12. It says, the wings of each living being touched the wings of the beings beside it. Each one moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. Verse 10. Each had a human face in the front, and the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle at the back. Each had two pairs of outstretched wings, one pair stretched out to touch the wings of the living beings on either side, and the other pair covered its body. They went in whatever direction the Spirit chose, and they moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. You know, when I read this passage, the Holy Spirit laid something on my heart that when we're talking about service, there are possibly three things that are important. You know, we're saying that if you're committed to service, you need to love. But the first thing is that these living beings, think about angels, cherubims. So it was a vision relating to cherubims. It said that their wings were connected to each other. So each living being, each cherub had... Okay, can you please stand up? Tony, can you please stand up? Can you please... Stretch your hand. Sir, correct me if I'm wrong. There's something the military says, is it take dressing or something like that? That, right? So we need to be at arm's length, right? Something like that. So you have to have something like that. Yeah, I still remember. But so we're not going to take dressing right now. But stretch forward. Touch. Now, if we're going to maintain the contact, what will happen? Okay, move forward. Move forward, keep going. All right. The contact is broken, right? Move back. We want to make sure we maintain the contact. Okay, move forward. Okay. Change your direction. Go somewhere else. Change your direction, do something else. Whatever you feel like doing. Because we're in touch, because we're connected, we're acting as a unit. Praise the Lord. We're acting as a unit. The cherubs, their wings were in touch with one another. They were acting as a unit. Praise the Lord. But it also says they were focused. Verse 9. Verse 9 says, each one moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. And for me, that is about focus. What have you been called to? What is God expecting of you, both individually and collectively? What is God expecting of us? Are we focused on what God has called us to? Praise the Lord. The third point, very quickly. They were directed by the Spirit. Verse 12. It says, they went in whatever direction the Spirit chose. They went in whatever direction the Spirit chose. And that reminds me of what, you know, Paul said in Romans 8:14, that all those who are led by the Spirit of God are what? The children, the sons of God, the children of God. Are we led by God's Spirit? Do we act in accordance to the Spirit's leading? Are we moving in accordance to the Spirit's leading? We claim to be committed Christians. Are we running a race alone? I don't know why I keep going back to this. Yes, our Christian race is individual, but we're in it together. As a collective, we are one body. God expects us to run together. God expects us to strengthen each other. God expects us to uphold one another. Jesus Christ said that if you love me, you will keep what? My commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if you claim to love God and you're not doing his bidding, you're not committed to his service, then there's a problem. As we go through this month, our focus is on total commitment still. But we're talking about being complete in him. We're talking about moving on to a place of spiritual maturity. And that's been our theme for the year. We're in the 11th month now. Yesterday we were praying and we said that if a child has not grown since the beginning of the year, there's a problem. How many people know how many centimeters or inches they've grown since last year? I know you've grown taller. Because you're almost taller than me now. Huh? She's taller than me now. Oh, wow. You know, adults, it's difficult to tell. Because we stop growing after a while. We just start expanding. It's true. And then you get to a certain age, it starts shrinking. That's true, right? But for a child, you look at a child and you're thinking, they're growing. They're growing. And if the child is not growing, you'll be worried. I think the same, we need to apply the same to our spiritual lives. If our spiritual life is not changing, we should be worried. As leaders, if those that are in our care, if they're not growing spiritually, we should be concerned. In this year of spiritual maturity, my prayer is that none of us will look back and think, hang on, there's been no difference. There has to be a difference. There has to be a difference. We need to move on. We need to step up. We need to grow. We need to grow spiritually. Praise the Lord. Shall we rise to pray? I have no doubt that we all love God. I have no doubt that we're totally sold out for him. But how is that translating to our service for him? It's just a moment of self-reflection. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. And says the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. How is your neighborly love translating into action? Are we just professing to love, but are we acting in love? It's one thing to profess to love, it's another thing to act in love. I just want you to pray for yourself this afternoon. You know where you're at in your relationship with God. If you're complete in him, completeness talks about wholeness. Are there areas of shortcomings that you still need to deal with? Are there areas that you know yourself, you know that the Lord can help you to do better in relationships with those around you, in service, in gathering, in fellowship? Are you reliant on the Holy Spirit to direct you? You know, that Ezekiel says that, you know, the cherubs, the angelic beings, that they were directed by the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit moved them, they went. Are you yielding to the Spirit's leading? Are you focused, or do you take things for granted? Earlier on today, we talked about the grace of God not being in vain upon our lives. Are you taking the grace that is given to you for granted? In Jesus' name we pray. Dear God, we, even as we've come before you today, Lord, you've heard our heart's cry. You know us individually. You know us collectively. The grace, oh God, to continue. Actually, Father, I know that you've given us that grace, because you said in your word that your grace is sufficient for us. We thank you, Lord, for the sufficient grace. Lord, we pray that you will help us to begin to walk in the enablement that you've granted to us. That which you expect of us, we will do. That will not be found wanting. As we go through this month of November, we'll move on to a place of maturity, a place of spiritual maturity, a place of completeness in you, that you look at us as children of yours and you'll be satisfied with us. That at every moment, Lord, you say, well done for the things you're doing. That will be our portion in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, that we'll not grieve you. We'll not grieve you through disobedience. But Lord, we will do your commands. The things you want us to do, those are the things we'll do in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the forthcoming Excellence Conference. Even as we prepare towards it, we say, Father God, that it will be yet another awesome time in your presence in Jesus' name. To you be all the glory, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.